One of my favorite things to do at quilt shows is to stop people in their tracks and get them to explain their outfits to me. And they range from quilt photos printed on tights and tote bags to hand-stitched jeans and coats and even runners. If the idea of vintage made modern piques your interest, you are in for an enjoyable episode. Today, I'll have a chat with Amy Berrickman. Hello and welcome to the Quilter on Fire podcast, where I explore the stories, the connections, and the joy of guests in the quilting world. I'm your host, Brandy Maslowski, the Quilter on Fire, and I can't wait to share this week's episode with you. So here we go. My guest today is Amy Berrickman. She is a creative arts entrepreneur, the author of Vintage Notions, creator of Treasured Threads, and founder of the sewing pattern company Indigo Junction. With over 30 years of experience, she has collected and curated vintage textiles and art to inspire your modern makes. If you've seen her recently at some of the biggest quilt shows like QuiltCon and Houston Quilt Festival doing demonstrations, you will know that she is all about recycle, refashion, relove. So let's explore the story of Amy Berrickman. Amy, welcome to the show.
Hello, Brandy. I am so excited to be here and chat with you today.
I'm so excited to be here too with you because I love spending time with you in the booth, the Oliso booth at QuiltCon and some of the other big shows. It's so fun to see what you come up with every year. Your sense of fashion is unbelievable. But I want to start by taking a look back at where you got started. So when do you first remember putting stitch to fabric?
Well, it all starts with my mom and my grandmother. So my mother was a home ec teacher and later a creative arts entrepreneur herself. And she was my Girl Scout leader. And we made that wrap skirt was the first memory I have of sewing with my mother. She did give me a tiny little Singer sewing machine, probably around age 5. But I'm not sure that I really got going until a few years later with her. But she and my grandmother both were very creative, very talented. And so I just grew up surrounded by handmade and beautiful art and style and antiques. So here I am.
Yeah. And it's so nice that you had that family to surround you with an early creative start. So what were the types of things that you started to make when you did really start to make things in earnest?
Well, quite honestly, I really got going with sewing in high school. My mom had opened a store that was a craft store, and she had taught classes on teddy bear making. So I saw her people making teddy bears and selling them for, you know, income. And I decided that I could do that. And I loved creative projects. So I just went to town designing teddy bear patterns and selling them in high school. So I spent hours and hours on a sewing machine through those years in high school, a lot more than I do now, just because I'm on the other side of more of the architecting and designing, and I work with a team now. So, but back then, I definitely was, you know, all into designing and sewing.
Yeah. So it's like you were a maker right from the beginning, right? So did you go from school, you know, transition? Did you get another career before you became an entrepreneur?
Actually, I didn't. So because I'd seen my mother in her brick and mortar store and her success, and I learned about, you know, essentially trade shows and buying wholesale and how the whole ecosystem of retail worked, I did go to college after high school and I studied fine arts and ended up deciding when I graduated that I would take a chance and try launching a pattern company.
Right.
I already had the background of learning from my mom, and she was selling sewing patterns and craft patterns in her store, and she had a lot of great designers she worked with. So that was the beginning of Indigo Junction. So I was very fortunate to have that creative community to launch into a little business of my own that then grew and grew and grew.
I want to talk about Indigo Junction in a few minutes. I'm really excited to dive into that. But I want to know a bit more about your story from teddy bears and your creative blossoming from there all the way over to, I think I could do this for a living.
Well, let's see. It went from in my years in high school, would take the money I made with my teddy bear business, and I got into jewelry design and designing jewelry. And so when I ended up going to the University of Kansas and starting in jewelry design, I ended up graduating with a glass blowing emphasis for my fine arts degree. So that was when there weren't a lot of, you know, jobs out there with the definition glass blower. So I knew the success that some of these other independent pattern company entrepreneurs were having in our industry. And some of the early type of designing we did when I launched the company was we designed everything from embroidery and applique for wool felt. We designed even Santas, where you would make a 3D Santa and dress him in a, you know, coat made of tea stained batting. This was in the era of all these handmade dolls.
Yeah.
So that's what led me to the quilt market, you know, and going to that show with my mom to then see, wow, this is a whole, you know, thriving industry. And then, you know, moving forward with my pattern company.
Yeah, I remember how popular those Santas were at craft shows everywhere. And people made them with that tea dyed stuff and they made them look vintage. Those are so popular. Now, before we get into this wonderful pattern company that just blossomed for you, I want to ask you, where are you living now and who are your loved ones that you share your world with every day?
Oh, that's a nice question. I live in Kansas City. And I call it the creative crossroads here. I love Kansas City. I have two kids and a husband who's a sixth grade teacher. And my kids are grown, so we're empty nesters at this point. My daughter's at school and just graduating this year. And my son lives and works in Kansas City. So we get to spend a lot of time together with them right now. And we're having a lot of fun. But Kansas City, man, it's come into its own in the last, you know, 10, 15 years with so much art, creative, you know, the town is just blossoming with growth. And I just think it's a great spot because of the cost of living and all the resources that we have here in Kansas City. So
yeah,
come visit everybody.
Yeah, it's so nice to live where there's a thriving creative art scene, right?
It is. It's, yeah. And there's so many quilters in my area and great quilt shops. We have just some fantastic new stores here.
Okay. So now I want to dive into how you grew and changed in your business over time, starting with Indigo Junction. But first I just have to say, you know, I've had so much fun with you at the quilt shows, and we were at this one quilt show. I think it was the last quilt con where you were starting to dress me up in some of the clothing and patterns that you were selling. So tell me what you're wearing right now. And that was the pattern I think you dressed me up in for a little bit,
yes,
of a photo shoot. It was so fun. So tell me a little bit about that pattern.
Oh, Brandy, you were a gorgeous model, and I appreciated you because you were wearing, the pattern was the Anytime Topper, and I was promoting the K-Facet versions that we'd created,
yeah,
and they just looked gorgeous on you with your coloring.
Aww.
It was fun, and you were so cooperative to get those little social media photos and videos.
While we were doing it, people were walking by like, okay, where can I buy that shirt? And it's like, well, you have to buy the pattern.
The good news is it's super easy. So
yeah,
like it's a quilter's top, I would say, because it's all straight line stitching.
Yeah.
And there's just, it's super, super quick and easy to make.
Yeah, and you can do anything with it. You can take an orphan block and you know, incorporate it into your pattern and have a beautiful, almost like have a quilt on your back, but it's a beautiful piece of art, right?
Exactly. It's really the pattern is really all about the fabric you use. I think of it as like a canvas that you can wear and showcase. If you have a favorite fabric designer, it's a great way to wear their fabric and share your joy, the joy you find working with it.
Yeah. Okay. So you're absolutely so well known for Indigo Junction. So let's dive into that story. So how did you grow and change with that business over time?
Well, it launched, you know, over 30 years ago, and it was the early days of the quilt market. There was a quilt festival, so I would usually go to Houston and do both shows. I would also attend, there were shows for needle arts, and so we would also attend that show because of the hand embroidery and the handwork we had. And I was very fortunate to get into the industry at a time when there were some wonderful shops, which we still have wonderful independent shops. But at the time I started, there were many more larger retailers, Northwest Fabrics, SoPro Fabrics. You know, there was Joann's too, and Ben Franklin's. So at that time, I was able to really have a strong business, both mainly business to business through a really diverse collection of retailers. And, you know, now that's changed significantly. And there's so much more online activity, and it's a little more complicated getting started because at that time, everybody went, you know, the main focus was quilt market to get your patterns out there and work with the retailers.
Yeah. And I need to add a little bit here because as humble as you are, you literally were a pioneer back then in quilted clothing with the vests, with felt applique, quilts and more. You had 1,200 patterns and over 80 books. So what was the part of this business where you had the vintage workshop? Tell us about that.
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you for mentioning that. That was my Indigo Junction company. About 15 years into my career leading Indigo Junction, I came across the opportunity to print vintage images on fabrics. So the printable fabrics that were out in the market with your inkjet printer. And I had always collected vintage art that was, you know, everything from holiday cards to sewing, premiums, little Coates and Clark trade cards, magazines. And so I really went deep into taking that artwork and then printing it on fabric and then using those images printed on fabric to create everything from small projects, purses, you know, as well as embellishing clothing. So, like, I had a book out that was called The Vintage Workshop Art to Wear. But the way that we were working with the vintage images was on CD-ROMs. So, this was way early in the technology world. And then we launched a website where people could download the images. And it just grew, and it was a lot of fun. The passion I had for that vintage art, I was able to share it with other designers in Kansas City, and they did amazing projects with the art. And I still have a good deal of that art on amyberrickman.com now, as well as an Etsy shop that has a very nice selection. So it was a lot of fun collecting and sharing that. And it became a big part of my business for a while.
Yeah.
But then eventually I had to make a choice, and Indigo Junction won out for my main focus of my time.
So I'm really excited about talking about all the new adventures you're having. But I want to talk about a little bit about this history a little bit more, because, I mean, that is such an incredible, huge archive of patterns and books and everything that you created. So was there a book that was most popular or most meaningful to you along the way?
Well, yes, I found it was actually a series. I found a series of magazines that were called Inspiration. and they were published by the Women's Institute of Domestic Arts and Sciences that was located in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And the founder of that school, her name was Mary Brooks Pickin. She also wrote the Singer Sewing book. Wow. And went on to be a very active leader in sewing and quilting products that were introduced. She worked with a lot of companies over the years and developed many books along the way. So finding her content led me to write my book, Vintage Notions. And that's, you know, an inspirational guide to needlework, cooking, sewing, fashion, and fun. So it's more of a, I call it like a domestic devotional. It's month by month, I curated Mary's writing, her best lessons from the school. There's even a sewing pattern in each chapter that's called a magic pattern. Yeah. And so that finding Mary was, you know, a turning point or a crossroads in my career in the industry. And I still constantly reflect to her work or look to her work as I develop new things for the market. She just was an amazing talent and so inspiring over the years.
Yeah. And I just love this book. The cover is beautiful. It's got these beautiful flowers all over it. And also it encompasses a whole bunch of different things. So it's not just quilting, it's needlework, cooking, sewing, fashion, and everything. So can you tell me where can people get that book if they're interested in getting it right now?
Well, there's a few places you can buy it. That you might ask your local quilt shop to order it for you. Another option would be, I partnered recently with Colonial Patterns. They're a company here in Kansas City, and they're carrying the book. We'll talk about them in a little bit related to my treasured threads. Yeah. But again, anywhere books are sold, you can find it online through like Amazon too. So yeah. But start with your local quilt shop.
Yeah. And Missouri Star picked it up as well, right?
Yes, they carry it too.
And the book was featured on Missouri Star as well. So tell us about some of the events you've done with them.
Well, I've had a lot of fun heading to Hamilton, which is only an hour away from me. So that's super convenient. I've done their Missouri Star Academy. I've taught there. I've also gone to their birthday bash. And let's see, last year, I had a lot of fun with Jenny, and we did YouTube Facebook Live, yeah, where we talked about the Vintage Notions book, and we also got deep into my vintage quilt collection and showcasing my log cabin quilts. So that is a fun episode to check out. They've got a great team up there.
Yeah, that sounds like it would have been really fun. And of course, if you want to go find that, you can just go to the Missouri Star YouTube channel and type in Amy Barrickman and it'll pop up, I'm sure.
Right.
Okay.
Amy Barrickman, so, it's one of the lives. So look, yeah, under the live playlist.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, now you have always loved these kind of collaborations and you love design as well. So when you see something in the world that sparks an idea for you, how do you connect with creators to like write books and write patterns and those kind of things? You're kind of a creative director, right?
Yes, I like to think I find great design, and then I architect ways that we can bring it into the quilting and sewing industry. Over the years, I've discovered some different designers that have blossomed into very successful pattern series and books. Pat Sloan is one of my original Indigo Junction designers. So I love Pat and had a great time working with her. And, you know, it's when I see something maybe at a handmade craft fair, I love to meet the creator, learn the story behind what they're doing, and then, you know, figure out ways that we can work together to share their great ideas to a larger audience through my community and my platforms. Recently, Jeanne Bryan Hunt is a designer who helped me with Treasured Thread. She ended up coming to Quilt Festival this year with me, and we had a lot of fun, but she's just so many great ideas. And so it's wonderful to just collaborate with people and give them a little start in our world of quilting and sewing. It's such a friendly, welcoming community.
Yeah. And it was so nice to meet Jen at Houston recently. She's another sweet, sweet human with a fabulous sense of style. I loved every outfit that she came to the show.
Wasn't she amazing?
I want to wear that outfit. Also, Pat Sloan was just recently on the podcast. She was my first episode of 2024. So if you're interested in listening to the Pat Sloan episode, just head on over to Quilter on Fire, click on the Listen and Learn tab and click on podcast, and you can scroll down to the first episode of the year, January 2nd. That was a really fun episode as well. Okay. Now we are going to get into what your business has evolved into today after the break, but you write these words on your website. You love handmade style for the creative spirit. You have a relentless passion for all things vintage. So Amy, just tell us why. Why vintage?
Well, Brandy, you know, it starts, I think, with I love to think about the story behind the vintage item, whether it be a textile or a notion. And a lot of times I'm just drawn to the art, the surface design that I find in vintage content, whether it be a feed sack fabric or say a button card. I love mother of pearl buttons. And so I look at those graphics on those button cards and I think those just, they're charming, they're whimsical, and many times they're created in a way that art is not being created that way anymore. So I feel like that makes them even more valuable. And, you know, I use the word treasure many times when I'm creating and speaking about my collection, but I think the idea that these stories behind these textiles need to be preserved and shared and honored is really important to me. And so that's a lot of what drives my passion for creating and bringing new products into the market.
Yeah, absolutely. And every time I come across you or I'm in the same booth as you and I'm seeing your demonstration table, I'm just so excited to dive in and see what you're working on this time. And I love that you use the word treasures because there are so many things in your world that you're showing us, old and new, that are just so fun to play with. And I can imagine a person walking up and thinking, oh, I wish I could do that. But you're giving us the tools because you have the courses and you have the products for us to use. So let's dive now into your websites. You have two websites. So let's talk about those.
Sounds great. So amybarrickman.com is my main website for all things vintage, handmade. What you'll find there is both a shop and a blog mainly are the two components of that site. And in the shop, I sell my only digital products, my patterns, the Fold and Go Folio, the Anytime Topper, and the Wherever Wrap are my newest patterns. And then I also, again, have a lot of digital vintage images available. My blog there, I feature a variety of inspiration on there, including if I have a new video that I put out on YouTube, it might be featured in a post there. Or I love to work with other fabric designers out there. So like, for instance, you'll find a blog on Debbie Maddie, who designs with United Notions. I think I have another post on Shannon Fabrics and using their Lux Cuddle products in some of my patterns. So that's amybarrickman.com. And you'll also find out a lot. I don't know how many blogs I've been blogging on that platform, you know, for almost 15 years, I think. So there's a lot of history there of my journey collecting vintage too. If I travel, I like to post about what I discover and the fun I'm having searching for those treasures. And then I have the Vintage Modern Maker site, and that is a newer platform that I've launched that is essentially sharing the history of handmade within online courses. So these are self-study courses on some of my favorite fabrics and notions.
Yeah.
For instance, pearl buttons, like I mentioned, feed sacks, red work, quilt block Names is another course that's out there. And those I filmed a couple of years ago. There's a lot of fun content, and there are video previews. So if people wanted to just go see what the project was or what Amy's sharing,
yeah,
they can watch the previews.
Yeah, that sounds so good. So on Vintage Modern Makers, you can go to get educated and, you know, take some of the courses. And at amyberrickman.com, that's where you'll find the blog, this entire archive of all these wonderful things. Sometimes it's just really fun to go to someone's blog and just explore the sidebar, you know, and take a look at all the topics that they've covered over time. You might find something from 10 years ago that totally inspires you. So I encourage you to go and check that out. And also, if you want to sign up for Amy's newsletter, that would be at amyberrickman.com. So you want to check that out. That way you'll hear all the latest stuff. Okay, you have a wonderful collaboration with Oliso Irons, and Michelle is the biggest sweetheart on earth. So tell us about that. What do you do with Oliso?
Well, I just love their products. And so I've been fortunate to be able to demonstrate their products at the quilt cons and quilt festivals over the last few years. It's just been, I've had, you know, different designs that lent themselves well for their wonderful project iron. And the new one is phenomenal. So in fact, I'm right now working on some videos featuring the new iron. And so that's been a great win-win to be able to be in work with Michelle and their team and be able to share, you know, my patterns and projects there at QuiltCon. Sometimes we've done the iron-on transfers too, and we do little giveaways. So just if anyone is going to be at an upcoming show, be sure to stop by Oliso's booth.
Yeah. By the time this episode comes out, we will have just finished QuiltCon. And I'm so excited. Like, if you're listening right now and you're thinking, gee, isn't Brandy also in the Oliso booth? Yes, I have a podcast lounge in the Oliso booth at QuiltCon and at Houston. And this year, we just partnered up again with another organization called the Quilt Alliance. So we're sharing stories that way as well with the Quilt Alliance. They do such good work. So I just have to just talk about this Project Iron for a minute, because I love this Project Iron so much. I am very hard on my irons. I abuse them and use them and drop them and get paint on them. And I'm such an artsy quilter that my Project Iron, when I show it in photos, sometimes Michelle is like, oh my goodness, like that iron's filthy. And so I do have the absolute latest Project Iron. I have pulled it out of the box and used it in a couple of photo shoots, but I haven't used it yet because I don't want to get it dirty. So I'm going to use my old one for my dirty, messy projects, and I'm going to use my new one for the pretty quilting projects with no paint or anything like that. Oh. But
perfect.
I do.
I have the old one too. And that sounds like a great idea, Brandy.
Yeah. Yeah. I do love Oliso irons. So that was a nice little feature of Oliso. But let's talk about some of the other collaborations you have. How about Clover?
Yes. Clover has been a wonderful partner over the years. Gosh, it's been over 10 years ago. There was a book that I worked on with Clover, and it was called Fabric Flowers. And I used many of their tools and notions in the book and featured their tools and notions. We did flowers, everything from needle felted roses to daisies made out of yo-yos. So Clover and their team has been wonderful over the years. And I'm working on some new things this year with them and excited about their products.
Yeah. And you have your own line of thread for hand stitching as well.
I do. And that's with Sulky. And it's the Crossroads line. As I mentioned, Kansas City being the creative crossroads, that's where the name came from. Yes. And these collections are perfect to partner back and use with the Treasure Threads fabric. It's a 12 weight thread that is just ideal for hand sewing. And I love it off the spool. It's just convenient and it's just great quality. And so we curated colors that come together in of these small petite spools in different palettes. And there's 8 different color palettes to choose from in the series.
Oh, nice. And 12 weight thread is the perfect thread for hand stitching. It just really stands out. It's really bold and thick and beautiful.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay. So let's dive into some of your travel. So what have been some of your favorite creative travel destinations over the years?
Well, there's one really special trip I took a few years ago, and this was called the Grand Textile Tour. Mm-hmm. And Betsy Blodgett, who worked with me at Indigo Junction years back, has launched her tours on Hello Voyager. But my mom and I were able to go on her trip to London and the Cotswolds a few years ago. And that was just an amazing experience that we had. We were able to visit shops in London, wonderful fabric shops. We just traveled to even the garden, Prince Charles, one of his gardens as part of the trip.
Yeah.
And, you know, and William Morris, we were able to visit his estate. That was such an amazing experience. So I just highly recommend people looking at Betsy's trips. I know she has one couple coming up this year, I believe.
Okay, that sounds good. And we'll be sure to put the link to that in the show notes. And you know, the Cotswolds are just so gorgeous. I've been there a few times, and it's just this honey colored stone cobblestone streets. It's just so beautiful. So what else have you done in the travel world?
Well, another one of my favorite places creatively, both indoors and outdoors, is Michigan, Northwest Michigan. So the area near Traverse City, I grew up going up there as a child to my grandparents' cottage. And we were fortunate to 25 years ago go in with my parents, and we have a little cottage on Torch River up there. And so my mom and I spend a lot of time up there sewing and doing creative projects in the summer months. And I also enjoyed visiting. There's some great quilt shops up there, just a world of wonderful small businesses and handmade treasures, antiques. It's a wonderful part of the country. So that is my happy place.
Yeah, I love exploring the vintage and antique shops. Sometimes you can find those orphan blocks and things like that, right?
Totally. I have such a collection of orphan blocks. Someday, Randy, you're going to have to come to Kansas City and visit.
Oh, I would love to. That would be so fun.
See them all.
Okay. And you have an absolute love for quilt museums and textile museums as well, right?
I do. You know, here in Kansas, we actually have in Hamilton, the Missouri Quilt Museum. I've been down to some shows at Crystal Bridges, which is in Bentonville, Arkansas. So that's only 3 hours away. And then we have the museum in Lincoln, which, truth be told, I have not visited, but it is on my list, and I am hoping to get there in the next couple months. There's also an Iowa Quilt Museum that I've visited and loved that museum. So I'm in a great part of the country or the world with such great history surrounding this area.
Yeah, it's nice to hear about all those places. And it kind of makes me want to suggest to the listeners that if you're listening right now and you're thinking, I don't even know what's around my area, it's a good idea to do a Google search and find out the closest textile museum or quilt museum or those kind of things that are near you, or do a search for shows and that kind of thing. That would be a great idea. Okay, now I want to dive into your teaching, because you have 3 classes on Creative Spark and you have classes on Vintage Modern Makers. So tell us about those.
Right. Well, I've taken some of my classes that I had on Vintage Modern Makers and shared them over on the Creative Spark platform, because they have such a wonderful platform for people. And I've done some of their events too. I'm looking forward to their embroidery event coming up later this fall. I also hope to add more to the platform in this coming year. Ticking is one of the courses that is really a fun one. And I'm hoping to expand on that and do some, maybe even some live events where I combine the ticking with some of the other projects that we've done as patterns over time. So again, just signing up for my newsletter gets everybody up to date on any of the adventures I'll have as far as online teaching.
Yeah. And if a quilter's listening right now and they haven't heard of ticking before, can you give us a little description of what that is?
Sure. Ticking is the fabric that covered mattresses. So it was a twill heavyweight fabric. It was usually striped. You know, blue and white is the most popular combination. But in my collection, I have everything from, you know, beautiful burgundies and red ticking, beige. There's just and all different variations of stripes. And it's just an easy kind of timeless textile to incorporate into home decor is where most people, you'll see it a lot. But we've even made the anytime topper out of ticking. So I'll find it, you know, you can find it at antique shops, but you can also, it's readily available online in a modern form. But just one of those fabrics, kind of like gingham. That was another one of my online courses I did.
Yeah.
Fabrics that you consistently see and you can work with and you can, you know, find it either new or you can find vintage. Yeah. So that's, and it's yarn dyed usually. You can find the ticking printed, but I love the yarn dyed versions of that. So. Yeah.
So you've just sparked another little question in my mind that I'll just add in here. So because you love vintage finds so much, can you give us a couple little tips on where you go, either online or in person, to find some of the amazing things that you use in your work?
Well, online, you know, eBay, you can find just about anything. Etsy is also a wonderful online shopping experience for vintage treasures. I also love my antique malls and estate sales. I will say I'm fortunate in Kansas City that our, you know, town was older. And so we have, and it was a very big garment manufacturing town. So when I go to estate sales, I sometimes find some amazing treasures here in Kansas City. And so I feel fortunate to have that history here to source from. Yeah. And it's true also up in Michigan in that area, there is some wonderful estate sales. So
yeah, that's such a great tip.
Yeah. Love the estate sales for, if you're going to upcycle ready-made clothing, finding wonderful apparel that you can sometimes use the fabric from in a modern project. Yeah. I do a lot of sharing of ideas.
Yeah, that is such a great tip because like a lot of people will think, yeah, I'm going to go to the vintage or the sort of antique stores in my area, antique malls. But recently I went on a trip, well, last year with my mom to Lewiston, Idaho to visit her sister. And we did a couple of, but then we found out online that there was an estate sale happening. And my aunt happened to know the person who was hosting the estate sale. She worked with her and I got to get in early and have a sneak preview. And I was so thrilled because I got to pull all the little sewing, everything. I found some wooden spools and some old tape measures and stuff. And so if you can try to get in on things like that, that's really fun. So that's great advice, Amy. So thank you for that. Sure. Let's get into your speaking. You have such great lectures on upcycling, sewing with vintage textiles and preserving them for modern enjoyment, that kind of thing. So tell us a little bit about what you offer for Quilting Guilds.
I have a couple different main themes that I focus on. Pearl buttons is one of the most popular lectures that I do. And that I just did that recently in Arkansas with a guild. So the story behind pearl buttons and how they were mined out of the Mississippi and all out throughout the Midwest is really interesting, including the Muscatine Button Museum. I feature that in my lecture as well as in my online course. So, and then another popular lecture is called So Vintage, and S-E-W, of course. And that is where I go deep into the upcycling, the preserving of heirloom textiles for modern projects. So everything from what am I going to do with my collection of vintage hankies, or maybe I have shirts that were my grandfather's flannel shirts. What are the ideas of a project that I can make with those shirts? And so the Sovit and denim. Denim has been a huge part of my pattern business and designs over the years. So with Indigo Junction, I tried to always show an upcycled version as well as a modern fabric. And denim many times was what we worked with. So yeah. I talk a lot in that lecture about, you know, redesigning denim. And I had a book actually called Denim Redesign that is available.
Still. I'm looking at it right now on your website and it looks awesome. Denim Redesign. And, you know, like so many people have jeans that are just like, you know, they're either faded or they're your favorite absolute jeans and they have holes in them or something like that. It's such a great idea to redesign them with fabrics that you love. And everything that you've done is so adorable. Like I'm just looking at the photos on your website and I'm thinking, oh, I want to take all of my jeans out of my closet and just repurpose them into new clothing.
Well, and you know, I can send you, Brandy, some of those treasured threads because that's what we've done. We've come up with a technique that uses our favorite fusible and teaches you how to do what we call repair patch applique. Oh. So if you do have those jeans that you do not want to let go of, we can help you, you know, extend their life.
Yeah, I love that. I love that whole idea. And we are going to dive deeper into treasured threads right after the break. But before the break, I have two more quick little questions. So is there a creative project over the years that has been most memorable for you?
Well, I would have to say it is my Vintage Notions book and publishing that book. That has been a real, you know, pillar of content that I constantly refer back to, and that collection is a real treasure in my archive that I always enjoy just getting one of those magazines out from the 1920s and flipping through the pages to see not only the wisdom, but the stories of creative women, our sewing sisters from the past, and what their thoughts were. And it's, you know, so much of it is timeless. Things really haven't changed that much.
Yeah, it's so nice to appreciate the past and use it as inspiration moving forward. And so we talked a little bit about how that book came about, but how did it feel to have the first copy in your hands for the first time?
Well, I tell people it was my third child. So I had a brand new baby. And I was very happy when that baby was born. No, it was really exciting because it had been, I fortunately had some wonderful people helping me bring the, you know, my dream in to fruition. And I was just compelled to get that story out. I ended up self-publishing it because I just didn't have the patience to, you know, try to find a publisher. So yeah, it was a fun day. And we did end up having like a book launch party that was at a vintage venue in Kansas City with a lot of friends from Indigo Junction. So I'm so appreciative truly of all the people who've helped me over the years with all these creative ideas and projects.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful book and it's packed with inspiration and ideas. So congratulations on making that happen. And I have one more question before the break, and that is, in your creative practice, what brings you joy?
Well, you know, it's the time of year. I've had a little bit of time after the holidays to reflect on my collection. So a lot of times when I need a break or I just want to be refueled creatively, I'll dig into my archives of vintage, you know, magazines, fabrics, catalogs. And then, so that's one side to it. The other side is I truly have and thoroughly enjoying the handwork that I'm doing, you know, and getting back into more handwork related to developing product around that with, you know, the treasured threads and some new things I have on the horizon. So, And I think handwork is so nice because it's so accessible to everybody. We love sewing machines and that tool, but just being able to work with your hands and simple supplies. And then even the fact of sharing handwork with your family, maybe a younger member. My niece was just here and we were stitching together and she really enjoyed it. So it was nice. It was nice to be able to pass it on.
Yeah, I'm always surprised when I hear a quilter out there saying, oh, I would never hand stitch a binding or I don't do any hand stitching. And then, you know, later on, I meet them again and they're like, oh, I got into English paper piecing. I was missing this mind calming, methodical feeling of doing the handwork. So if you've never tried handwork and you're listening right now, I'm telling you, it just like if you take your phone out of the picture even if you're sitting watching TV in the evenings and set your phone aside, get off the social media and pull up a hand project and do that while you're watching a movie. And you will be surprised at how great it makes you feel. So that's
I totally agree.
Such a great answer. Okay. So right now we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk all about Amy's studio space, some of the wonderful projects that she's working on right now, including the Treasured Threads products, which are so fun, and what's coming soon. We'll be right back. The Japan Textile Tour with the Quilter on Fire is a go. Travelers are now booking their flights and we start our tour from Tokyo to Kyoto on May 19th, 2024. There are a few spots left, so if you need to check Japan off your bucket list, call Judy from Opulent Quilt Journeys at 1-877-235-3767 to book your trip today. Quilter on Fire is now on YouTube. I started up all new content at the end of 2023, and I've been having so much fun. From tutorials to unboxings and amazing interviews with quilters and artists at big shows like the International Quilt Festival Houston and QuiltCon, you'll find all kinds of quilty goodness. If you love this podcast, please go subscribe to Quilter on Fire on YouTube today. And we are back with Amy Berrickman. Amy, can you tell us about your studio space? Where do you create?
Well, I create in a space that is the walkout basement of our family home. And this studio, we built the house. So fortunately, we were able to, my office I'm standing in right now has windows on three sides. So it has great natural light. And then I have a nice large open workspace area. And then back actually under our garage, we have a room and that's the room where I have a little video studio and do my filming. And then behind that is the vintage vault, which is a room filled with vintage treasures, all my vintage patterns and vintage fabrics and all my, you know, product development resources and ideas that I've collected are all back in that room.
Oh, now I really have to come to Kansas City.
Yes.
And what is your favorite time of day to create?
First thing in the morning is probably my favorite time. I'm an early riser and I love getting up before the day gets going and having the time to focus and you know, work and get organized. And I think that's, you know, I'm just my brain. I work pretty intensely almost every day of the week. So my brain is pretty tired in the evenings, but first thing in the morning, I'm ready to jump back in.
Yeah, I used to have my 15 minutes of creative time scheduled on my calendar for like 9 p.m. I would go back down to the studio, but I never did it. So I've changed it to the morning and it works much better. I attach it onto my morning routine. And yeah, so morning can be a great time to create. And what is the best thing that you do for yourself for your own self-care?
Well, I love photography and taking a walk and just observing nature and, all the visual inspiration out in nature is probably what I think is where I really refuel and fill my cup and get inspired, whether it be from, the pattern on a leaf and the color in the fall or, the crocus when it's popping up early in the spring. I'm constantly being distracted by all that wonderful creative color and inspiration in nature.
Yeah, I love nature too. It just, if I can get out for a good hike with my family, with my husband, with my dog, that's one of my favorite things. So I'm with you on that one. Okay, now let's get back into business. We've been hinting throughout the entire podcast about treasured threads. So let's start off with why the name? Where'd you come up with it?
Good question, Brandy. As I created the product, I had so many different ideas for the surface design that I wanted to be part of this fabric product. And Treasured Threads, I thought, gave me the ability to create a diverse collection of inspiring prints, fabrics, collage, and I also knew that what I was providing was very unique and rare and truly a treasured piece of textile that then somebody could create with. And
Yes.
so that's where Treasured Threads came from.
Okay, and what do you bring to the world with treasured threads in a nutshell?
These are fabric panels that are both patchwork and collaged art, and they're great for, mixed media, quilting, sewing, paper crafting even. And between the patchwork panels that we did, one is a postage stamp that has over 150 little feed sack prints in it, to the Western Rodeo, which is a collage of vintage cowboy rodeo imagery. These different collections can be used for small projects, appliqué. A lot of what it is that we've created most recently with the panels are, like I said, you want to patch your jeans, you want to preserve a jean jacket that has a big stain on the front. Well, this could be your solution. So we've come up with several techniques to easily allow people using hand sewing to take this product and really get creative in a quick and easy fashion and wear what you love. If you love quilting, you can decorate your jean jacket and share your passion for sewing and quilting.
Yeah. Now you have featured this new product or line of products actually so well on your website. So if you're listening right now, go to amyberrickman.com. On the homepage, you will see the video with Misty Doane right front and center. And then you can click on find out more. And then you can see all of the different things that Amy's done with treasured threads. So there is upcycling with treasured threads. And remember now, threads has a Z or a Z at the end of it, depending if you're American or Canadian. The denim redesign book would go so well with treasured threads products. And there's examples of all kinds of patterns and projects from her own collection as well. And then let's dive into a few of the PDF patterns that are included with treasured threads or go along with treasured threads.
Yes, I would love to talk about those, Brandy. So, when somebody buys the panel, when they open the package, inside there's a QR code and a link. And that takes you to a page that has three patterns that are offered in PDF format. There's a zipper pouch, a crossbody bag, and an eyeglass case. So, these patterns are the perfect small project to companion with the Treasured Threads panel. And on the page, you'll see all the different versions we've made. So they're great little gifts to make for people or for yourself. And then the other product that will work that we recommend with those patterns is what we call the favorite fusible stabilizer. Mm-hmm. And so that is the product that you can use as essentially a batting inside the eyeglass case, the zipper pouch, or the crossbody bag. And the other thing we use that fusible stabilizer for is making the patches for the decorative patch applique technique. Or if you're going to repair a hole in your jeans, this product is perfect for the technique we use.
Yeah, that sounds really good. So yeah, it's not like a fusible fleece. It's more like just a fusible that you would be able to stitch.
It is like a fusible fleece that you can stitch through.
Oh,
we
okay.
We just called it a stabilizer because of its purpose is to stabilize the Treasured Threads fabric to allow you to then add the hand stitching and the hand quilting. But it's very similar to a fusible fleece, but it's a formulation that we like for use with our techniques.
Yeah. And the postage stamp fabric is so adorable. It's kind of got this 30s vibe. So tell us about the postage stamp retro panel patterns.
Each of the panels has the three patterns. Okay. And so they will all be consistent throughout.
Okay. So you can use them for any of the panels that you buy. The patterns come along with it for free.
Right. And you can use them for other fabrics you have. Yeah. You know, that's the beauty of these.
Yeah. And the panels contain like coordinated prints and patchwork and everything. And they all go together. And there's so many wonderful ways that this is featured on the website. You'll get all kinds of inspirations. Like I'm looking at a fold and go folio. That is so cute.
Oh, yes. That pattern is a lot of fun. And it's perfect for carrying along your hand working tools and notions. So it really lended itself perfectly to work with the Treasured Threads. And the fact that postage stamp to produce and quilt that design yourself would be exhausting. So I'm giving you a little shortcut to get that patchwork look that you love. And then you can have fun. Stitch it as much or as little as you like. You don't have to quilt it. You could use it as is. We've done add buttons, you know, embellishments. And that postage stamp is, it is a favorite. In fact, there's two scales in it. Actually, three different scales of the patchwork. And like you said, two different prints, two different red and white prints, a gingham and a polka dot. So those coordinating patterns really are a nice, easy way to have all the different prints you need for a project.
Yeah. And it's very hard to tell that it's actually not pieced. Once you get that stitching in there, it looks like the whole back of the jean jacket is completely pieced. It's adorable. Okay. So I love that product. So we want to make sure that people know where they can go to find these products.
Yes. So Colonial Patterns is my partner in manufacturing the Treasured Threads. So if you want to buy a panel, their website has them available, but because they are the manufacturer, but keep in mind, ask your local quilt or fabric store to order the product for you. They will be able to order from Colonial Patterns and carry this product in their store. So want to make sure we support our local retailers. I know how important that is because my mom, I grew up in that world.
Yes. Check your local quilt shop. Sometimes if you go into your local quilt shop and you talk about something they don't have, you can inspire them to bring it in. Okay, the next thing I want to dive into is what do you share on YouTube?
Well, I've got a whole series on my Vintage Notions book. So for a year, I filmed videos going through each chapter. And the fun thing about those is I share where the textiles and notions featured on the pages, more about the history behind those. Yeah. And so if people go to the Vintage Made Modern playlist, they can see those videos month by month. So it might be fun to just follow along at the beginning of the month, watch the video. And then if you have the book, you can get out and, you know, read a little passage or two. And then I do some lives where I share my collection. My mom and I did a live on crazy quilts. That's a lot of fun. Huh. And then here and there, I've got some videos on buttons and crafting with buttons, ideas for upcycling. So there's a nice variety there for people.
Yeah, there's a huge variety. So if you're interested in checking out Amy's YouTube channel, go to Amy Barrickman, B-A-R-I-C-K-M-A-N on YouTube. And when you're on a YouTube channel, you can see front and center that there's the home, there's videos, but head on over to playlists. When you click on the playlist, you'll be able to find that vintage made modern. There's over 47 videos in that, just in that playlist alone. So you're sure to find all kinds of inspiration over there.
Yes. Okay. And I'd love it if people subscribe too. You and I both know how important it is that our community just.
Yes. I was just talking about that on a live yesterday. And when I say yesterday, well, it was January, way back in January, but I was talking about that on a live New Year's where we were talking about how to treat yourself well in the new year. And one of our tips was when you find a creator that you absolutely love online, follow them everywhere. So many people, like, they just stay on Facebook or they just stay on YouTube and they don't find their favorites elsewhere. But if you follow them everywhere and you click on the bell and you click on those three dots and you can see more of what they produce and you'll see more of the creators that you already love, right? So it's just a great idea to do that. So yeah, go follow Amy Barrickman and Quilter on Fire on YouTube right now.
There you go, right now. Yes.
Okay.
We love to share. And it's fun that we can help and share each other. This is what you do, Brandy, is such a gift to our industry. So just thank you for all you do with your podcast.
Well, that is so sweet. Thank you so much. Okay. So what's something that you are dreaming of doing in the future? What's on your bucket list?
I think traveling a little bit more, going on another textile tour with my friend Betsy.
Yeah.
And taking my mom along. She loves to go. Of course, I'd love to travel with my family and my husband and kids.
Yeah.
But my mom and I have an extra good time when we get to fill our creative hearts with a new adventure.
Yeah. Adventures and travel and family time. That's such a great answer. Okay, so now it's time for the lightning round robin. It's a series of rapid fire questions and it's super fun. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. What is your favorite tool or Notion?
Pearl buttons, okay. Notion.
Do you have any kind of personal reward system for getting things done?
When I get my projects done, I treat myself to a visit to the Glenwood Antique Mall that's just a few miles from my house.
Oh, that's such a great idea. I always say in my studio lecture that if you do a really good job clearing clutter and you've got a box of things that are going, go and treat yourself to something else that's smaller, but bring something back in as a reward, right? That's a great idea.
Well, okay. I try to be careful and not bring too much back.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so what is a skill you'd still love to learn?
I was just looking online at collage quilting. So with my photography that I do, I'd love to learn more about taking that photography and translating it to collaged art with fabric.
Oh, that sounds fun. Has there been a mentor who has really influenced you along your journey?
Well, there's probably two I'd mention if that's okay. There's Mary Brooks Pickin, who is my fairy godmother of fashion dress, all things sewing. And then probably Nancy Zeman was another mentor of mine. She, for many years, was very supportive, having me as a guest on her shows on PBS. And so I'm very thankful for that opportunity that I had with Nancy Zeman.
Oh, that sounds so fun. Do you have any favorite collections of things in your home?
I have many collections. So let me think here.
I knew it.
Probably my collection of books is one of my favorites. I have a really nice little library room with a wall of all my vintage books. And I think that's one of my favorite. Well, I mean, of course, all my textiles are another collection. In fact, this morning I was filming a penny rug that had been on our table as a table runner over the holidays. So aside from textiles, probably my book collection.
Okay. And what is your proudest accomplishment over time?
Well, definitely those kids of mine. When it comes to number one, that has been definitely, and probably number two, I think about, you know, when you're a creative entrepreneur and your partner who, you know, My husband and I have been in this together for 30 years. He works outside of the business now, which is a very good thing. But I think, you know, those two accomplishments are number one and two.
Yeah. And doesn't it hit probably hit you quite hard once you're an empty nester? Because that's happening for me right now.
That's right. Your son's overseas.
Yeah, he's in Australia. And I, you know, I'm so proud. That's like one of my biggest accomplishments as well. But boy, does it hit you when you're an empty nester for the first time and you're realizing, yeah, they can do all this stuff on their own. They don't really need me so much. I've kind of helped him grow and let him go. And luckily he's thriving. But
isn't that, that's said well, because, yeah. You know, they're, but it's hard. You want to still, you know, make sure they know what mom thinks.
Yeah. Okay. Is there something that quilters might not know about you?
Well, I already told them about my glass blowing degree. What else they might not know about me? So if anybody is familiar with my alma mater, the Kansas Jayhawks, I sewed a costume for the big Jayhawk. There's also a baby Jay, but I sewed a costume when I was in college that the Jayhawk wore on national TV during a KU game. So Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Oh, that is so cool. That is so fun. Okay, so thank you for braving the lightning round, Robin. That was super fun. So I've mentioned your websites a couple of times. So we've got vintagemodernmakers.com and we've got amyberrickman.com. And there's also colonialpatterns.com where we can find everything that you offer. But where's the best place for quilters to connect with you on social media?
On social media, Facebook, I have a page and I have a group on Facebook. So that group is a great place for people. Amy Berrickman's Vintage Made Modern.
Okay. Oh, that would be a fun group to be involved in.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can go and search that on Facebook and click to join. And are you on Instagram as well?
Yes. Amy Berrickman Studio on Instagram.
Okay. Now, as we wrap up, what do you want people to take away most from our conversation today?
Well, I just want people to be inspired to look in their closet or maybe a drawer, find a vintage textile or a piece of clothing that they want to get creative with and make something new, try a new technique, and then hop over to my website and find some inspiration and hopefully we'll connect and I'll bring some joy through needle and thread.
Yeah, that's such a great way to end the podcast. Use what you have and do what you love, right?
I love that. Use what you have and do what you love.
Yeah. Amy, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Oh, thank you so much, Brandy. It's been a lot of fun to chat today.
Yes, it has been so much fun. Okay, so that was my show with Amy Berrickman. One thing I love so much about Amy is that she is such a sweet, sweet human, first of all, but she has such a great sense of style. Every time I see her, I say, oh my gosh, I want that outfit. The way she puts together vintage finds and fabric to make unique clothing is golden. I would love to have her as my personal stylist head to toe. So be sure to go to amyberrickman.com to sign up for her newsletter and find all the inspiration, information, and check out the treasured threads to repurpose your clothing or make small upcycled projects that you will love. And I loved sharing Amy's story with you today. Do you own a quilty biz? The Quilter on Fire podcast has gone from 1,000 to over 5,000 downloads per week over the last year. And there was also that one that hit 20,000, remember, Tula Pink? If you advertise anywhere, why not consider a podcast ad? Quilter on Fire podcast ads bring great value, and they're not just here and gone. The ad stays up for the life of the podcast. Drop me a quick message or email me at brandy@quilteronfire.com to get your quilty business into the ears of thousands of quilters today. Do you want to help make the Quilter on Fire podcast even better? Leave a review on your podcast app. Tell me what's helping you, what's inspiring you, what you want to hear more of, or what would put an extra smile on your face while you're quilting. Seriously, I want to know. So please leave that review. I can't wait to hear from you. Thank you for listening to the Quilter on Fire podcast. Until next time, dream big and have fun in the studio with the Quilter on Fire.